Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Oh, our usual chaos. I love it.
Yeah, fun. Well, this is review number two, you know, the sequel. I like to think this one's going to be like Sister Act 2 Back in the Habit. You know, like, it's not going to be as good, but it does have Cheryl Lee Ralph and Lauryn Hill. So
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah, it's a real shame on some counts. Derek, roll it.
And welcome to another Catholic episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the country that's back in the habit. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Wow.
I think after 200 episodes, calling it a habit is the nicest thing that we can say about it.
We're back on our, yeah.
An addiction, really, at this point. Mm-hmm. A craving. Just
require
longer.
Require more episodes. To feed the episode god. Speaking of the episode god, Sam, hit him with the socials.
Yeah,
that's less the socials and more of the episode god. Sam.
Yeah. Do it.
Well, whether you are just one of our listeners, our friends, or the episode god, him, her, or themselves, you can find us on all of the standard social media outlets at 12 Points USA, or you can just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You could check out some of our merchandise over on our Redbubble page, or you could also support us with a monthly contribution via Patreon. Whether you support us financially or not, we see you and love you and appreciate you either way, but Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. So this is our second preview episode. We're so excited to welcome another special guest to the podcast. I've had the pleasure of appearing on her podcast in the past, so it's a time that she returned the favor. Laura Kress, welcome.
Yay, thank you so much. I know, lazy old me. I should have come on this podcast ages ago.
We should have invited you. It's my fault, really.
We're a very transactional podcast.
Yeah. The check is in the mail.
Podcast for podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So we know you, or at least I've met you a couple of times throughout the years, as the former co-host and, you know, current co-host for certain specials of the No Points podcast, the No Point. Do you anglicize it or francize it?
We say No Point. Yeah.
No Point podcast. Pardon my, my just because Philistine
no
American.
Just makes us, I don't know, sounds very sort of English, like no points.
So the No Point podcast, tell us a little bit about that experience.
So that was something that me and my friend Martin, another big Eurovision fan, set up in 2019. And it was just because we were going to Eurovision kind of as a holiday, but also obviously to experience Eurovision every year anyway. So we thought, why not do a little podcast about that? Why not talk about Eurovision, our love of Eurovision? And we, you know, we got guests on that. We covered it whilst we were there in the city, whichever city we were at during the week, and it was great. The only issue was is, probably as you can understand this as well, it got a lot to do all the time. You know, it was a weekly thing we did. We really loved doing it, but we just wanted to take a little step away from it for a little while. But I think we are going to come back and do a sort of special one-off covering the sort of best ones or the ones to look out for at this year's Eurovision at some point, hopefully on our normal channels and maybe on Twitch as well.
Fabulous. And speaking of Twitch, you are active on Twitch as well as a expert in adventure gaming. You're streaming. Can you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'd say expert, but yes.
More than me, for sure.
Sure, fair. Yeah, I stream on Twitch normally. Like you say, a lot of point-and-click adventure games that I play just because they're good for fun and quite ridiculous sometimes. I've been playing one called Gabriel Knight 2, which is all about hunting werewolves in Germany, and it's mad. It's really good fun. So a bit of that. But yeah, I, when it gets around to Eurovision season, I also do stream some Eurovision specials and things like that. So I'm just Kress up on that if people want to check me out on that. And like I said, hopefully me and Martin will do something on the Eurovision wise as well.
Excellent. And if people wanted to know more about that, so Kress up is your general handle for a lot of this stuff?
Yes. Cool. That's it. Search Kress up. Yeah, it'll pop up. And like you said, No Points, No Point podcast. Although it's not running at the moment, hopefully we'll do a special. And you never know. Maybe we'll get the bug again and we'll just end up doing it all again.
Well, if you do, call me up. You know, happy to at least launch a couple trivia questions your way, you know.
As I've got we've done a few more people I can call up now as well. I can
Yeah,
say.
Exactly. One of us.
So I have a question. Do you have a favorite point and click adventure? of all time?
I do. Although it does change, but sure. Grim Fandango is probably my favorite.
Good answer. Yeah, sure. Okay, that's an easy one.
Oh, good.
I was going to say Pajama Sam, the very first one.
Of course, well, that's
got a much more highbrow choice than me. Yeah,
that's a close second.
I've always been very partial to Day of the Tentacle, but Grim Fandango is hard to... Anything Tim Shaver, basically, is hard to...
Yes.
Question, Laura. In the UK, do they get Pajama Sam, and do they spell it Pajama Sam?
You know what? Pajama Sam... I know the name of this, but I don't know if they do get it in the UK, because I'll be honest.
Okay, I don't think they got the same...
really. I don't feel like I am the target.
Entertainment games, yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm the target market for it, but I've looked it up. It's a children's adventure game.
Yes,
so maybe we do get it. I don't want to. Oh, Ron Gilbert designed it, so there you go. I didn't realize that, but and I've interviewed the guy, so I should have known that. But yeah,
no kidding.
There you go. I'm not going to besmirch it now. I was going to besmirch it, but now
you can besmirch.
This is a good besmirching podcast.
I was going to say you got the safe space. Can get your besmirching yayas out like starting now.
Start besmirching now.
All right, new tagline unlocked. Yeah.
Yeah. Can we just go into the besmirching?
Why don't we? That's a good.
All right. Yeah. Let's get our besmirch on then. Let's launch into our packet of songs for today. Something to look forward to. We have got Czechia on the roster, as well as Iceland, Switzerland, Spain, Estonia, and Austria. So it should be a fun recording today. Got a lot of really cool songs. Some might maybe cooler than others. Anyway, let's start with Czechia. This is Pedestal by Aiko, who is also the name of Derek's cat, who unfortunately you listening at home in an audio podcast cannot see him at the moment, but Aiko the cat is currently lovingly perched upon Derek's shoulder.
On a pedestal, if you will.
Yes, yeah. Derek is now the pedestal for Aiko the cat. I don't know what Aiko the Czech singer is doing at the moment, but I'm assuming she's not sitting on Derek's shoulder. Anyway, here's her song. Derek, play a clip.
Yeah.
All right, so that was a little segment of Pedestal by Aiko, one of the earlier songs picked in this year's roster, but we really just had a very recent revamp that was launched. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's both old and new at the same time. Just some facts about her. Aiko was born in Moscow, actually, but moved to Czechia as a toddler where she was raised, moved to the UK for her musical education, and she's now based over in Brighton, a city with a lot of Eurovision history. Of course, that's where ABBA won back in the day. She's released 3 full albums so far, her most recent one just this past year. But yeah, this old and new song for us. Laura, do you want to take your first crack at the besmirching? What do you think?
Besmirching, yeah.
I'll only smirch this. I won't besmirch it because I do quite like it. It's going for that kind of slightly poppy, grungy style that we've seen pop up a bit more recently with kind of like Olivia Rodrigo has sort of been going for that kind of style as well. At first, I wasn't quite sure if I thought that was really enough, but I do really like the chorus. You know, she's giving it her all. It's very kind of, sort of Courtney Love kind of female grungy poppy kind of style. You know, obviously when I say Courtney Love, I mean sort of very Courtney Love light. It's not, you know. that's a very, you know, if people who haven't heard the song and then hear me say that might think, that's a very interesting direction for Czechia. But I did really enjoy it. Like you said, we got the revamp, and I think it did kind of need that a little bit. It's interesting that they did go for that, but I do think that added I think I'm enjoying it more now. I've given it a re-listen, and it's kind of added a bit more to it, I think.
I'm kind of in a similar boat. Like this, when it first came out, you know, there was a studio version, but I think most people were sort of introduced to this song in its national final format.
Yeah.
Which is really unfair, considering that the national final did none of the songs any favors. The audio quality was just really subpar.
I just went back and listened to all of the live performances from the national final. Every
Why would you do that
person,
to yourself?
I know. It seemed like every single person was flat. It seemed every single person was having some audio issues. Like, it was mean to all of the contestants.
Yeah. And it's a shame because this is a solid pop song. You know, it's got that big anthemic vibe, a chorus that's kind of nice and punchy that I think people will remember. And this, to me, feels like a song kind of reborn. And I'm not sure if I'm seeing things through the lens of the fandom that this had been poo-pooed or just flat out ignored for so long because of the unfair kind of platter that this was served to us on at first. But having this refreshed version, especially with that sort of climactic note at the end, that could be a really cool jury moment. I mean, assuming that it gets to the point where it's seeing juries, because as we know, semifinals are 100% public vote now. But this is kind of climbing up my odds, just my personal rankings, kind of slow and steady. So this is a bit of a sleeper for me. Eric, what do you think?
Well, not to be too much of a Czechia hipster on this, I've always liked this song.
Show off.
I was in on Pedestal before it was cool to do so. I feel like a few years ago we had that little wave of songs best described as sounds like Billie Eilish. So like Victoria's two songs. And it seemed like only a matter of time before we got to the little wave of songs that sound like Olivia Rodrigo. And that's, yeah. As Laura stated, I think that's exactly kind of where this is coming from. And that's a sound I enjoy. And I enjoy this song quite a bit. I acknowledge that the national final performance in particular is truly, truly awful. It's really rough.
We cannot stress this enough.
It's really bad. But here's the thing. Vesna didn't sound great at that national final. Mm. And they were amazing. That was elevated by their staging. The Czechs, have established themselves very well as being able to use the space they're given and use the, you know, the LEDs and the lights and all of that, that like they can really make something out of this. And I think that they'll do that with this. And strong ear and everything. I'm a little worried about its qualification chances, but I really think the song is good. And I think that it's been underrated to this point for sure. It shows up in the near the bottom of a lot of those like YouTube ranking videos and things like that. And I don't think it should. And I think the revamp put it back in people's view a bit, and I think that's good because the song really is quite nice, and I'm glad people are, I guess, realizing that suddenly that they put a good note in at the end, and now everyone likes it. So whatever it takes, I guess. Yeah, I like this one a lot.
Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, I like it too.
Moving on, right, Danny.
Next.
I mean, it's always weird going last in these discussions, so I'll just kind of comment on the revamp. I think a lot of the complaints
Danny still hasn't said his piece.
Danny's going last.
I know, but you know, fourth.
So take it all from me.
And Danny's a wild card, so you never know what he's going to say.
That's true.
He hates everything.
You're the last non-Danny. There's no disputing
except
that.
Czechia for some reason, but I know he doesn't like this. I think when I was looking at reviews for the original version of the song, everyone kind of had the same complaint and that it sort of plateaus and that it doesn't go anywhere. And now we have sort of like that middle eight and that kind of outro that is completely different. I don't know if they're going to do this in the live performance, but in the music video, there's that little segment of like where the music cuts out completely and there's like
it's
dialogue.
Like an argument. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that'd be really cool to do on stage. I don't know if they're actually going to do it, but I think that'd be kind of an interesting break in the music. I really like, and I can get more into this and a couple of other songs as well, but the fact that it takes the breakup song and then goes a step further with it is really interesting because we get a lot of breakup songs that we broke up and I'm sad, or we broke up and I'm angry and that's it. That's the entire song. And this one is, we broke up, I'm angry, and I need to take better care of myself. And that's the takeaway from this. There's a sort of a constructive anger message in the song, rather than just, I'm going to wallow in my sadness or my anger, which I feel like too many songs do in this type. It does remind me a lot of sort of 90s punk, grunge, alternative female rock bands, Hole was one of my go-tos. Faruka Salt also popped in my head for some reason.
Hell yeah.
Which, I mean, again, really like that era and really like a lot of that music, so can't really complain. It's sort of in my wheelhouse. I feel like this is going to struggle, unfortunately. This is in semi two. It does kind of stand out in the semi because we don't have a lot of similar stuff there. But
arguably San Marino, but that's in the other half of the semi. So
yeah, and San Marino sucks, which we'll get to. Yes, again, if this is the better female vocal rock song of the two, people are going to vote for this one over that one, unless it's all the Spaniards. Yeah, I like this one a lot. It's gotten me to check out some of her other music, which I think is a plus, if nothing else. I'm hoping for the best, Daniel.
So two things.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
This is a good show because it's going to have two of basically what I think were the worst songs to win over a much more deserving song in a national final. I thought that just as far as live performance is concerned, you know, now that we have the actual versions of all of the songs, especially studio versions, it's a little bit more fair to say that Aiko won. But I was flabbergasted that Aiko won out of Thomas Robbins Out of My Mind from the Czech national final. I thought Out of My Mind would have been an extremely competitive song, even if it is just a sad guy yelling into a microphone again. I thought that it had especially in retrospect, it probably would have had a vibe that would have been very competitive. But the Aiko's song Pedestal as it is now is, to get to the second topic, good. I didn't think it was good even in the studio version before. But this revamp, it's like they found the secret spice that was missing, and that's all they had to add. All they had to add was just a slight change to the end. And I think there's like a little more tambourine in the mix or something when we get to the chorus. It's just slight things here and there that have made this song so much better without giving us a completely different song. It's nuts. I went from really just discarding this song like a bunch of other people do. I never hated this song, but I just discarded it. But now I will gladly not skip it.
That's an upgrade.
That's an upgrade.
I think the important question here is, Derek, what does Aiko the cat think of Aiko the human?
Similar haircut.
She's the girl. She says she wants food.
Ah.
I mean, Czech food is delicious, so I'm taking that as a plus from her. And she's jumped off your shoulder.
It does resemble cat food sometimes, so you know.
She was here for what she needed to be here for, and then she took off.
Yeah,
amazing.
She knows what she's about.
All right, who's next? Where are we jumping?
Right, we hop over to Iceland next. This is "Scared of Heights" by Hera Björk. All right, so that was a little clip of "Scared of Heights" by Hera Björk, representing Iceland this year. She is one of our returning artists on this year's roster. She represented Iceland back in Eurovision 2010, coming in 19th in the grand final that year with her song "Je ne sais quoi." Fun fact, she was also the winner of the 2013 Viña del Mar Festival in Chile, which, as somebody who lived in Chile for a little while, that's a big deal. She actually represents now one of a very small handful of acts who have both participated at Eurovision and won Viña del Mar, including like Paolo Meneguzzi, El Pida, if you're going way back, Braulio for Spain, like back in the 60s. Like, it's a very, very exclusive club with this crossover. It's very cool. She was also a backing singer for Iceland's entries at Eurovision in 2008, 2009, and 2015. So she's a veteran when it comes to this kind of thing. I guess it's my turn to start off the proceedings, and I kind of wish that I had gamed the system that I wouldn't be the first one to take a crack at it, but this is where we are. I like it when a Eurovision song takes risks and tries to rock the boat, whether that's by scaring people or doing something cutting edge. And this doesn't do that. This feels like it would have been a very safe entry at Eurovision 1995.
That's all I was going to say. It's the winning entry from 1995 is what this is.
It wouldn't have won, though, because songs were still pushing the envelope in 1995.
This wasn't beating Secret Garden.
Yeah, there's no beating Secret Garden. Come on. But I mean, the problem isn't her performance or her voice or her experience. It's just that this song is, it's not even Vanilla Ice Cream. It's just unflavored ice milk. I wish I had more to say about it. And yeah, again, she's not the problem. It's just what she's given is very, very okay. Next. Eric, what do you think?
Speaking of okay, next. All right.
Segue. All right.
I'm going to preface this by saying my feelings are in no way clouded by any of the supposed controversy over the super final in this thing with the song that it beat or anything like that. Please keep that in mind when I say this song sucks. I don't even know what else.
Would it have been made better if it had stayed in Icelandic? I'm not sure.
No.
I mean, okay. I think the issue is more with the just how utterly dated it feels. We've talked about the difference between like, oh, this has a cool retro feel, and it's hard to define the line between feeling retro and feeling dated, but this passed that line a very long time ago, and I am amazed that this won a national final. Again, not getting into the you know what happened there and all of that. I'm not saying about it in those terms. I'm saying I can't believe this won a super final against anything. even in a super final where you can vote against somebody or something like that. I'm talking about it now. The it's still amazing. Like if there was something I really, really disliked, like that would make me think I'm going to vote for this. I cannot imagine how bad that other song must have been is basically where I'm at with it. And this is really, really bland and dated like a carton of milk that you kept in the fridge 30 years.
Oh.
And it started growing limbs
you're getting too interesting, Eric.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I love the music video for Blur's Coffee and TV. What are you talking about?
Oh, I love that little guy. Yeah, no, that's great. You're right, Danny. If the 30-year-old milk was growing limbs, that would be more interesting and quite possibly more palatable than listening to this song. Derek, take it away. I'm good. I'm done. That's it. I don't like it.
But before I start, I just want to ask, both of you made milk references in describing how you feel about this song. And I'm just wondering, is that going to be a through line? Do I need to make a milk analogy as well? Milk,
I mean, podcast. If you call it cheesy, I think you're good.
Okay. I think the thing that I noticed very most about related. This is it yeah. has, and we talked with Roy about the death beats per minute.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Last time. And this song sounds exactly like Embers to me.
Yes. Yes.
It is
out of the embers.
It has that.
I need to be reminded of that song.
Yeah. Almost the exact same structure. Yeah,
thank you for inflicting that on us.
Yeah, very kind of our country's
crime. We'll answer for our country's crimes on the next podcast, but keep going there.
I don't think we could do that in one episode. If you played this for me and said this was from 1994, I would say, wow, we've come a long way. If you played this for me today, my response would be, we've come a long way. and we're still doing this. I don't know what the thought process was behind this song. I'd like to think that any song that goes into this, a national final or in contention, has some thought behind it. That we need to be competitive. We need to showcase something. We need to elevate an artist on the international stage. And I just don't think the song is doing any of that. It feels like they're deliberately tossing this year. And I don't understand why. And we're not going to get into the politics of it, but there were other options that I think would have made a statement. And I don't know what the statement is, if nothing else. I mean, we've seen countries kind of give up on a year and just send something just to fill the space.
I've certainly seen it from my country.
Yeah, and I...
we've seen it from Iceland, even. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, we went from Ari to Hatari, so I mean...
Yeah, and this... And she's not unfamiliar with the system. She's been here before. We saw her in 2019, and holy cow, she's tall. Wow. She was just hanging out. She wasn't, like, doing it backing vocal.
She wasn't the one in the gimp mask. Behind Hatari.
But it's
you don't know that.
We can't prove
it. I mean, this is now headcanon. Wow. Like, this is now headcanon.
Tara Bjork is good now.
Okay. My only thought is everyone involved in this should have known better. And I can't help but look at this and think, they're doing this on purpose, and I just don't know what that purpose is.
You know what it is? It's they're tanking so they can get the number one pick in next year's Eurovision.
Yeah, that's right. In the draft.
I see how it is.
In the draft, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you got to do that. There's a Wembanyama or whatever, and you got to be bad for a year so you can get that guy.
Sports podcast. All right.
Sports podcast.
Absolutely not.
Danny, what say you?
So last year I described Ireland's song as sounding like it belongs on like a credit union commercial. This song feels like it's the song that they play during promos for this week's episode of The Voice or like The Masked Singer. This song feels like something that was meant to be licensed, not listened to. This is a song for the aunties, derogatory. This is a song that has no life in it. There's no life. There's no desire to say anything. There's no desire to entertain outside of the crowd that's eating a buffet at a casino. I can't endorse this. I gotta leave. I don't know. Move on. Lara, take the axe and swing it.
Imagine if I was like, well, I really love this song.
Oh, no.
I don't. Don't worry.
I'd have to stand up and go outside for a few minutes if you did that.
No, don't worry. Continuing on the milk theme.
Bring it back.
It's very milk toast. There you go. But yeah, no, I totally agree. I also don't know what they were thinking with this song. You were talking about that fine line between, you know, retro being good or retro just feeling really dated. I agree. This feels really dated. I think Spain's song, which we're going to be listening to, that treads that line a lot better and has got that kind of disco-y feel. But this just feels very bland, very boring. And it's just a shame. I just think it's a shame considering Iceland's recently has been sending some great songs. And I just don't know what's happened with this one.
Well, let's hope that this is just, you know, an R year leading to next year's Hatari moment and Davi the year after that. So we look forward to Iceland's renaissance, I suppose. Are we ready to move on to our next song then?
God, yes.
All right, we leave the dairy section of the grocery store, and I guess we go into it's Switzerland. So let's go to the chocolate aisle, or whatever aisle you buy watches in.
the watch aisle, yeah, at your local aisle 7. Yeah.
Target, you know. All right, let's have a moment to chat about The Code by Nemo, representing Switzerland. Here we go. Let's hear a clip.
Like Gemini's, I just gave it some time. Let me tell you a tale about life, but the good and the bad, better hold on tight. Who decides what's wrong, what's right? Everything is balanced, everything's light.
All right, so that was a little snippet of The Code by Nemo, representing Switzerland. Their first EP, Clownfish, which is hilarious, was released in 2015 when they were only 16 years old. Their first breakout hit was called Du. It came out the following year. Generally has released music in either English or German. They were a participant in the Masked Singer of Switzerland, where they were the panda, which is adorable.
Yeah.
And fun little connection in terms of the songwriting team. Songwriting team for The Code also includes Linda Dale, who was behind Queen of Kings from Alessandra last year. So there's a little bit of that that pedigree in there. Eric, it looks like it's your turn to start us off. What do you think of the Swiss act this year, Nemo?
Oh, gosh. All right. I'm going to get the bad out of the way first.
Go on.
And say, I really wish it didn't have a rap break. It's the worst part of the song. And it's still, and the thing is, though, it's still pretty well done as rap breaks go, much as I don't really like those. I think Nemo is just phenomenal. I think this is going to be one of the hardest songs to stage and perform live that we've seen in a very, very long time. But I think that if they can pull it off, sky's the limit. This is an absolute contender. I think lyrically, this is as profound as Eurovision songs get at times, talking about being between the O's and ones. I love that line. I really, really enjoy that line. I enjoy the whole thing. Being to hell and back and finding yourself is something that so many people can relate to, and it's a meaningful thing. It's an important part of any life, really. But this story of them finding themselves, finding Nemo, as it were, that that movie podcast, that this is a triumph of a song. I mean, what a swing for the fences in just about every respect. I don't know. I'm not even that upset about the rap break. I just...
You had to find something to pick at.
If I have to criticize it, and I don't, but if I did, I would say I don't really love that bit. I just don't think it works as well with the rest. And it's this is already such a cavalcade of different genres and things like that. I don't know that it needed to go into that as well, but there seems like a pretty good rapper on top of everything else. So yeah, this is really, really a remarkable piece.
Are you complete?
Is anybody truly?
That's a no. Interesting way of asking. But yes, yes, I am good to go. I am complete, sir.
All right, let's roll with this. This song is a lot. And in my opinion, I think it works. And I think earlier I compared it to Who the Hell is Edgar, in that it kind of jumps around between these different styles and somehow keeps you on board. I understand why people don't like the rap break. I kind of do like it. It doesn't overtake the entire song, and it's just that one little bit. So even if you don't really care for it, it moves on. But then it suddenly switches to opera, and he's doing this falsetto thing.
They
are doing this falsetto thing. I know, heteronormativity. I like this one a lot because it's sort of challenging in a weird way. It's about finding yourself, but at the same time, it's a song that's exploring a lot of different genres. I do really like the message. It kind of reminds me of the Dan Savage It Gets Better campaign that happened years ago. And this idea that I was young and I struggled with who I was, and now I know, I figured it out. And I think that's a really important message for a lot of young people, regardless of what they're going through. And it seems like it has so much energy and life to it. Like, it's hard not to get swept up in it or get excited or get like focused on it. Like, it's not a song that you're going to go to the bathroom during, or go make tea, or whatever it is people do during the boring songs, like Iceland. I think this has a real shot at winning. I'm not 100%, but, you know, I think any of the top six songs in the Betting Odds have a real shot right now. So I don't know what that's going to look like. Again, a lot of it's going to fall on staging. We've seen them do a performance live, so we know they can sing it. Not too worried about that, but... You know, again, what's the message going to be? What's the visual element of this? Could make or break a song, and we'll see. I like this one a lot. I respect it a great deal. I think, I just have to point out, like Ammonites, I just had to give it some time, is my favorite line of the year. It's such a clever lyric.
So clever.
And it's kind of witty in a way, like it understates how much time we're talking about here, which I just find really endearing. Yeah, I can't say enough nice things about this. Daniel.
I think it's going to be tough to, for me anyway, to go, I mean, to predict a swing from reviewing one song to reviewing another song on this podcast. It is going to be as extreme a swing in opinion as going from Iceland to this song.
Why do you think we put it this way, dude?
I know, this is fantastic. First thing out of the way, Nemo, they have a look that is, you know, it's Cody Smith McPhee in The Power of the Dog, movie podcast, you know, extremely lanky, curly haired, cheekbones, that, should have a warning label on them. Anyway, Nemo, call me, that's out of the way. I'm going to bring up, can't believe I'm the one, Danny's about to invoke Richard Wagner. So the concept of the Gesamtkunstwerk, the idea that every single element of a work of art is sort of meshing with each other towards precisely one end, that they all converge and work together for one purpose. I've never experienced a song like this, let alone a 3-minute Eurovision song like this, where every single element is working towards one theme, the idea of breaking out of a binary. And I think it's insane that, like Ammonites, I just gave it some time, is possibly the only lyric in this entire song that is not constructed around two extremes. It seems like 90% of the lyrics in this song are about taking like highs and lows, like a contrast between two extremes. And then this chorus happens and it's like the only time when the song breaks out of that. And then the way that it includes both something extremely high art, like introducing opera into a pop song, and then going for what we would traditionally call low art, like a rap break, and then the chorus being neither of those, like it's all working towards the same thing. And it's so extremely clever for him to say he's for them to say that they're between the O's and ones, because O's and ones are binary code, and it's non-binary. This is so perfect. This is such a perfect song. Eric, you're an idiot. The rap break is integral to the song, and it's good. It's good, Eric.
Oh man,
I'm a sucker for, I suppose I have a higher natural tolerance towards the rap break Azerbaijan last year. I don't know. This is an extremely accomplished song with no lyric I would change. No musical passage I would change. It ramps so beautifully. Everything feels extremely well performed and purposeful from the rap break to the opera opera-ish singing. What is there to change? Plus they're beautiful. I don't know what to change here. This is like it's a 10 out of 10 for me. No question. I can't believe it. I can't believe this song.
And it's Swiss.
What's going on? Lara, take it over. Tell me what you hate about this song.
No, I mean, what I find interesting, someone, I saw a comment about this of someone saying it's on a level of Toy for being kind of all over the place, yet still somehow consistent. And I think that, but I much prefer it to Toy, I have to say. I think that kind of really fits in with what you were saying there about it being all over the place, but yet somehow all over the place because of the message that it's trying to give. I think this will be very interesting. Compared it to, you know, potentially like Who the Hell is Edgar, I hope it punches through more than Who the Hell is Edgar, because the problem with that, and I'm wondering if this is the same, is that the fans loved it because they totally got the message and what it was trying to say. But then when Who the Hell is Edgar came on the actual stage for the general public, that message got lost, and I don't think they were able to give that message clearly enough. I think this has a shot at doing that a lot clearer, and I really hope, because the problem is when I did hear this for the first time, I did think it sounded like a bit of a mess, but the second time I completely got it. It totally grew on me. I listened to the lyrics more. I understood what it was about. So it really is like you were saying, the visuals, how they give that message and try and make it as clear as possible and show people what it's about, so that people go, oh, I totally understand their journey. I totally understand what this song is about. And I really hope they can do that. I mean, the thing is that the vocals are amazing, so that's going to grab people in the first instance. I just hope that they can make this a really clear, crystal clear message for everyone to get.
Yeah, I mean, what I was saying about Iceland before is that it didn't take risks. This takes all of the risks. This takes risks that I never knew a Eurovision song could potentially take. It's style, it's vocal ability, it's genre, it's breakneck and chaotic, but it was coming together so beautifully into this package that when it comes to actual songwriting craft, this might be the most well put together musical package I think I've ever seen at the contest.
Yeah.
In terms of the layers of thought and the layers of ability that it takes an artist to be able to hit all of this stuff out of the park, it's incredible. Is it too much, though, for somebody who's watching this for the first time to be able to absorb? Is it, you know, some people, when they go into a museum and they look at a masterpiece, they look at it and go, okay, I get it, it's not my style. And other people will literally stand in front of, you know, a painting like that scene in Ferris Bueller and just look at every single pointless dot and absorb it, and just, this is really going to be very much in the eye of the beholder. I'm beholding it as a freaking masterpiece. It's incredible.
Beholding podcast.
Beholding and best marching. We talk about what a winning song is at Eurovision, and I think we always talk about the story that the song sort of, Like the story behind the song, like what is the narrative of the song winning the contest? What would that be?
Yeah,
like
what's last year we
had
victory, yeah.
Last year we had like, you know, Loreen returns with a perfectly crafted Swedish style pop song. It's like the triumphant return was like the story there. And I think if Nemo ends up winning, then the story is that they have created a song that is extremely personable, yet also very listenable and interesting. So I have to wonder if, like, if Nemo wins, if we can call this sort of like a reaction against sort of the extremely non-personal feel of Tattoo.
Yeah, I mean, this was a song that Nemo had a hand in the crafting of, and you could tell how personal it is, even though it wasn't just them writing it. It was a team. But I feel like you need a team to be able to craft something this incredibly complex. And
there's other countries that are extremely high in the betting odds that I think have just more immediate sentiments to understand. It's the admirable and extreme subtlety and complexity of the message in this song that I think is the only thing that's going to hobble it. Songs like Belgium and Croatia that are near the top of the betting odds, they have so much more immediate to understand what's going on there, to understand everything. Yeah. It's the relatively simplicity of those songs. This song is so complex, and yet in that complexity succeeds at every turn. It's just going to be so sad to watch this song come in 12th.
Bite your tongue.
I know.
Also, is it just me, or does this song have an amen break?
It does.
I mean, it's
I'm like, I mean, it just,
it's like every techno style song with a techno style break.
I love it. I have an obsession with the amen break. Anyway, that's where have we all said our piece on?
Yeah. It's Spain time.
All right, let's
here
roll
comes
over
the
to
Spain.
All right, let's chat a little bit about Zora or Zorra, depending on your accent in Castellano, from Nebulosa, representing Spain. Let's hear a clip. Voy a salir a la calle a gritar lo que siento a los cuatro vientos. Si salgo sola soy la zorra. Si me divierto la más. All right, so that was a little clip of Spain's song for this year, Nebulosa's Zorra. It's a duo made up of Mark D'Souza and Mary Boss. They started producing music together in about 2018 or so, but they've actually been married for 20 years. They've got two kids together. So this is actually really cool to see. I don't remember the last time that we've had a married couple be the lead act. We had, you know, an entire family last year for Albania, but it's very cool to see like an actual couple instead of just people faking it. Shawnee and Nevergreen. So the duo had auditioned for San Marino last year, not making the semifinals, which is interesting considering the San Marinese act were in Benidorm last year and are going. We'll talk about San Marino at a different time. But for now, we have Zorra. The literal translation of the word is vixen, a she-fox, basically.
She-fox.
But it really has the connotation of, you know, if you blended bitch and slut and
I think that's the closest we can get. Yeah,
like, you know, shameless.
I think like yeah.
Shameless woman using her sexuality at, you know, whatever cost that she wants to.
Like is probably the closest in meaning, but it has no bite to it. You know, calling someone a harlot is like hee hee.
Tart, but like, tart is still too cheeky.
I mean, tart is so old fashioned, and yeah, but like it combines hussy. That idea of like yeah, hussy is like, you know, being
trollop.
Being like having sex with a lot of people or whoever you want and not giving a damn. But like the bitch component is that like also there's like some power to it.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing is there's it's an untranslatable word. You have to do a combination in English.
I'm going with Trollop.
Anthony Trollop, the novelist.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eric, right.
Are you first here?
Yeah, I think it's Derek's turn to start us off. Yeah. So
Derek.
You know, I just think it's great that for a song about, you know, feminism, that a man start this conversation.
Finally, men's opinion.
The timing of this is really bad for me. I kind of going off of that conversation, I not struggle, but just really, I can't wrap my mind around this concept of this word, because I know this song is made or broken by connotation. Like, what is this word mean to you? outside of Spanish, because in Spanish, I think everyone kind of gets it. And it's not a nice word. It's very derogatory. And she's reclaiming it for herself. Like, yeah, you can call me that. And that's what I am. And I'm proud of who I am. And I respect the hell out of that. But if you said to me that, oh, that word means vixen, I'm like, I don't really have a negative association with that word. Whereas if it was bitch, like that's like a much harsher word, or calling somebody a whore. I feel like there's a lot of negativity around that. And I would judge it much differently. Well, like Laura said, it's retro in a very cool style. I think it's kind of nice to see that. Overall, I'm impressed with the notion of reclaiming a word, taking a concept and giving it power in your own way, and not being afraid of what people think of you or the words that they use. And that message is, it's going to be difficult to sell. I think Spain has just kind of traditionally struggled, and they're doing something that's very Spanish right now. So I don't know how this is going to translate, but I feel like this is something they kind of sent for themselves a little bit more. And I feel like they have, like, they've been around for 20 years. You know how long they've been making music for?
They've been married for 20 years, but they've been creating music together since around 2018.
Okay. I mean, so I feel like they're pretty comfortable. The live performance at Benidorm was really good. So I'm not worried about that part. I don't know, it's such an interesting one. I feel like we have a bunch of songs this year that you could write whole papers on and really explore. What does this mean? What does this mean for feminism? What does this mean for personal empowerment?
Thank God we're not doing Netherlands this week, too. From the 2-hour episode.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I think it's quite interesting. I don't know if it's going to wow people at the contest itself, but I feel like there's a lot going on. It's a lot deeper, kind of like Switzerland. There's more beneath the surface here than just kind of a goofy retro pop song.
So this is the second song that I was talking about when I was talking about Czechia, in terms of songs that I feel were committed a crime by killing off a much more deserving act. The song that came in second at Benidorm was... this is my last time going to be talking about this song, is Dos Estranos by Saint Pedro, which was a very chill, sort of tropical sounding, laid back acoustic song, which would have utterly transcended language and would have given Spain a top 10 shot, no problem. And instead, like, intellectually, I can understand why this song won instead, sort of the boldness of the lyrics. But that is only for Spanish speakers. If you don't know the sort of linguistic properties of this song, then it comes off as, and this is going to be something that I think a good number of our listeners will be able to understand, because Eurovision is full of the gays. This song comes off to me as the kind of song that a second place runner up on RuPaul's Drag Race releases onto YouTube in an attempt to create a music career. And it's not good. I don't think that she has any vocal power. She constantly sounds like she's gasping for breath throughout this song. There's no volume. I understand that she's an older performer, and we'd love to see older performers at the contest when they're not Icelandic. But this is just... all of the strengths of the song are in what its lyrics mean in Spanish. There's nothing else, and they are going to get all of their votes for the see-through mesh on the male dancers behind them. I think this song is a wreck.
I struggle with this because I like the message, but I agree that I don't think that message, unless you're in Spain, will hit.
Yeah, not just speak Spanish, but are in Spain.
Yeah. because there was a bit of a sort of potentially fake storm brought up around this, that, you know, Spain's prime minister had to give a statement about this song, saying that he thought it was fine that you know, they used this word, and it was actually reclaiming the word, so which I wasn't expecting to see, really. But I don't think the vocals are strong either. And, you know, I enjoyed the sort of backing dancers in a corset kind of outfit that was going on. But I don't know. It's a very Spanish song for a very Spanish audience. But I don't see that making any waves anywhere else. You know, unless they try and add something to it, I don't know. But I can't see them doing that. I think they're just happy with what they've got, and that's what they're going to give.
The thing about this song is that, yeah, it's not the most vocally challenging song. She doesn't care. Like, that's the thing.
She
like,
doesn't.
The entire message of the song is that it doesn't matter. She doesn't care. She's in a good place. She's just going to do what she wants because you're going to call her a Zorra anyway. So she's just going to embrace it and just do what the hell she wants. And
I think we need to maybe even see more of that, though, her not caring. Because at the moment, I didn't see that level of like, I'm going to do what I didn't see the attitude, maybe.
Not in the live performance. I think it comes across more in the video. And hopefully the live performance that we'll see in Sweden will kind of enhance that. I think in the Benidorm live performance, you could see that she was really responding very well to the crowd, which is going to be a very, very different crowd from Sweden. But the sort of the validation of that, of not only reclaiming the word, and I remember the kerfuffle when Meredith Brooks' Bitch came out back in the 90s, late 90s, what, in the 97 or something like that, give or take. And I feel like it's a similar kind of way of just reclaiming the word. It's like, yeah, call me a bitch, call me whatever. I am all of these things. And I really don't give a crap about what you think. I'm just going to keep on doing this. And, you know, good for her, especially, you know, she's 56, I want to say, give or take. And, you know, as a woman who's approaching 40, like there are certain pressures and there are certain societal reactions that people have to a woman who's, God forbid, showing a gray hair or a wrinkle here or there. So, you know, the song isn't challenging. It's not difficult. It's fun. And if that's all it is, that's fine because that's what she wants it to be. And woe be anybody who says any different to her. So that's kind of where I am with it. Like, I'll listen to it. I'm happy it's there. It'll be a Euroclub filler. It'll make the Spanish fans very happy. And frankly, if it makes the Spanish fans happy, that means they're not complaining about something else. So fine. Eric, you go.
Oh, I don't have a ton to add. I mostly agree with Danny. It doesn't really work for me. I think it's not fully on the like dated side of the line between retro and dated, but I think it's straddling that line. And I don't love that about it. It just doesn't. I kind of enjoy the idea of the song and the attitude, but I just don't really like the song is just kind of where I'm at with it. So I'm going to use my time to note that thesaurus.com offers some interesting alternatives to the word vixen, including harpy, Haridan. That's a good one. We've got shrew. We've got termagant.
What? Isn't that like a small bird that changes its colors a little bit during the winter? They're kind of poofy. No, it's a ptarmigan. Sorry, it's a ptarmigan.
Yeah, this is a termagant.
These are more like a woman who dares speak her mind is what these sound like.
Virago.
Yeah, these are more like a shrew than a...
Listen, take this up with thesaurus.com, who are giving this info
who
here.
Who are giving.
Yes, it's giving. It also suggests as a weak match Xanthippe, which is interesting.
Isn't that a character from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
It is. The daughter. Yes.
Yeah. It is also a historical / mythological figure. I forget.
I don't care.
Yeah, that's okay.
Wife of Nero or something like that. Wasn't that Xanthippe? Or I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, are we ready to move on to our next song?
The word of the day is
Xanthippe.
Termagant.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. I know where we're going next, Sam.
All right.
Lead us on our way.
All right. Let me just kind of do my vocal warm-up exercises before trying this. Nendes narkotikumides ete amekulmidagi by Vips Minus Japulup, representing Estonia. Esti. Derek, let's play a clip. All right. Oh, do I have to say it again?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. So that is Estonia's song, Vis Minus Japulup, Nendes Narkotikumides Etea Mekulmidagi. We for sure do not know anything about these drugs. So, if you couldn't tell, that is the longest title in Eurovision history. Take that, Valentina Minetta, and your Social Network song, parentheses, close parentheses. So it's a collaboration, this one. It's a four-member rap group, Vis Minus, so 5-, that formed in 2015. They're the 2-time winner of the Estonian Music Award for Artists of the Year, a couple of hit albums on the local charts, and they are collaborating with Poo Loop, which is a new folk duo formed in 2014, specializing in the Tal Harpa, which is that kind of boxy violin fiddle thing that they're playing with. Fun fact about this one, they had to go a minor lyric change to avoid running afoul of Eurovision's branding rules. So there's a line in there talking about a bag of Lay's potato chips that now translates as a bag of deposit bottles. So yeah.
It's a short. What is that? Is it like tear? What is that?
Tear deposit.
It's a short word for like the things that you turn in for money. We don't do that in America because we waste everything.
I mean, I feel like they have it in Massachusetts or something like that. But you see like the Massachusetts and California, I think they do it.
I think there are some grocery stores here that do it for certain like substances.
Yeah, my kombucha bottle.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in Germany it's a big thing, like Pfand, I think they call it over there.
Yeah, just it's something.
The PF Pfand.
Pfand.
Ptarmigant, Pfand, and whatever Ptarmigant. that Wagnerian word that Danny used. This is now
a That's right. We're a vocab podcast.
Speaking of Danny, why don't you start us off?
Let's take this over. I suppose I have just some short and simple sentiments here. So I don't speak Estonian, and I haven't looked into what these lyrics mean. So I am enjoying this song the same way that essentially all of Europe, minus, you know, the Baltics and like 20 people living in Turku will. I like this song, and I love the sound. That's it. That's the extent of my possible analysis of this song. I'll leave the deeper lyrical close reads to you guys. But when this song comes on, I'm like, this doesn't sound like anything else that's at the contest this year. It sounds like they're having a ton of fun. It sounds like it's a little bit cheeky, but it's also extremely danceable. And that's what I like. And I think that is the immediate vibe everyone else watching the contest and not familiar with this song already is going to come off with. And I think that's a big, big check mark in the plus column for them.
I mean, I agree. I think, you know, you're saying big there. It does remind me a bit of Little Big and their sort of
sure, yeah.
style a little bit. But obviously, I don't know that it's again, that's kind of like group sort of surreal folklore in your face kind of thing. And I've enjoyed it. When it first started off, I was a bit like, oh, I'm not sure about this. I don't know where this is going to go. But then they, you know, they crack out the, I think it's called Tal Harpers, the mm-hmm. string instrument they use. Mm-hmm. And like you said, they're clearly just having a lot of fun enjoying themselves. And that's it really, and good for them, and I hope they really bring it on the stage. It also slightly, without it being quite as bonkers, remind me of Croatia's entry last year, which was again just a group kind of going absolutely bonkers and just not really caring, and that's what they want to bring, and that's the message. I mean, it is being referred to as the drug song, which I quite like, and which is kind of unusual. I'm trying to think of
That's even shorter than the Estonian song.
Yeah. Just call it just the drug song. I was trying to think if there were any other Eurovision songs which reference drugs, even though in this they are saying they're not our drugs. So they're not saying they take drugs, they're mm-hmm. saying they aren't our drugs, which is an interesting angle to take, really, but I suppose the only one they could take. I couldn't think of any others that reference drugs in that way. I was having a bit of a look at the lyrics, and yeah, they are quite simple, really. It's just, we're not drug addicts, we haven't done anything. And it's like, you know, if that's the message you want to go for, then that's fine.
the message that I heard is not only, you know, we're not taking drugs just because we're, you know, not wealthy doesn't mean that we're, you know, criminals. If anything, look at the rich people. They're the ones who can afford the drugs.
That's it. Yeah.
Which I find wonderfully cheeky. The song that I kind of compare this to, and again, this is a song from Malmö, is Alcohol is Free, which has, you know, a bunch of dudes, bit of an ethnic flair, but something so catchy and so infectious that even if you don't understand the language, you can't help but dance along with this. And, you know, Trenoletul kind of has a similar vibe for me to this as well. It's, you know, it'll be very interesting to see if this is placed in a running order in a sort of way that Trenoletul was, which was following a whole bunch of slower ballads and then suddenly poof, you get punched in the face by a bunch of Moldovans. This, to me, is fun. It's infectious. It's engaging. the dance routine, like the way that people were reacting at ASTLL was incredible. And I feel like the language barrier isn't going to affect people's enjoyment of this in the same way that Alcohol Is Free brought people in, or that Turnaletzel brought people in. I can't help but turn the music up on this one every single time I hear it. I love it. I absolutely adore this. And yeah, on every level, on the simple one or just kind of scratching the surface and going deep. I love it. Eric, you go next.
I couldn't agree more. I love this. It is just a delight of a song. I loved seeing it performed where they had tried to put in a little bit of a narrative of like a couple of guys were being like the cops and a couple of the other guys were being the guys saying, I don't know anything about these drugs. And it's just so much fun. And I think that Danny, you had talked about like not really having looked at the lyrics, but that you had kind of read it and kind of had your interpretation of it, and you nailed it. And I think that's really a testament to the song doing a good job of reflecting what it's about and what its vibe is and all of that without understanding a word of the language. That's what you want when you have a song like this. I love the kind of the interplay exactly. between the two groups. I love the instruments that the tal harpa, which is a violin you just make yourself. And I also, Sam, we had talked about this yesterday. We recorded a radio show for 3 hours of Eurovision goodness yesterday. And I posited that a few years ago, we talked about Eden Alene having the whistle note that was the highest note in Eurovision history. And I will put this out as a challenge to our listeners that this may have what is the lowest sung note in Eurovision history during the chorus, where it goes to that very, very lower bass sung part, which that line translates to, I don't know drugs, I know soda and cider. Couldn't tell the difference between vitamins and speed. Great line. Great, love great it. Line. Great song. Super fun.
We've all been there, haven't we?
Yeah. Derek, what say ye?
Oh, no, he hates it. He hates it.
All right. So, no, I don't like this one. Let's just get that out of the way.
I knew it.
I see a lot in it that I find likable, but as a whole, I get like, you know, a minute into it and I just kind of lose interest. Like, it's this goofy joke and they're being silly and it's just not funny enough for me to sustain 3 minutes of interest. And I don't think it's really saying anything noteworthy. It reminds me a lot of Let 3 last year, which I get they had a message, but they just weren't really doing anything with it or saying anything really deep about it. And I'm not saying there isn't a place for just goofy, dumb songs. I'm fine with that. I just wish it went another step with it somewhere. I find myself wanting when I listen to this, either musically or lyrically. Like, I did read the lyrics. I get what they're saying. It feels like something, you know, people in college would, like a college band would sing about, not a group of older men.
Oh, man.
And that just kind of doesn't gel for me. Again, it's catchy. Like, when I'm listening to it and it comes on, if I'm doing something else, it's great. If I have to, like, focus on it, it loses something. And I think that's kind of my problem with it. If this is a song contest, I want songs that are going to get my full attention start to finish, regardless of what they're about or what they're doing. And for me, it doesn't really do that. So is it good? Yeah, it's just really not for me. Or maybe it's just not enough. I don't know how this is going to play out. It seems like people really are onto it. And maybe the first listen is all you really need to qualify. And I think for Estonia, that'd be pretty good. That's kind of my take.
All right. Fair enough. We don't have to be monolithic. I get it. No worries.
Yes, we do. Monolith podcast.
No, we don't.
No.
A Eurovision podcast where dissenting opinions are crushed under the heel.
Finally.
And we will rave.
Little girl.
Yes. All hail.
Like it or not. We shall rave.
We will rave. We will rave.
All right. And on that note, let's chat about our last song of this lineup here. Colleen, We Will Rave for Austria. Let's hear a clip. Okay, so that was a segment of We Will Rave, the Austrian entry by Colleen. She's a 29-year-old singer, dancer, choreographer from near the city of Linz. even though she's technically a newcomer to, you know, being the lead act at the contest, she probably has more Eurovision experience than just about anybody else at the show this year. She was a stand-in performer, a dancer for the interval act, and a choreographer in the 2018 contest. If you look online, you can actually find her doing the stand-in rehearsal for Fuego, and she more than held her own. She was a creative director for the Spanish and Bulgarian acts in Junior Eurovision 2021. In 2022, she was a stage director and creative director for Spain, as well as stage director in general, I think, for the show itself. She was also a stage performance consultant in the 2023 contest for Austria, Germany, Armenia, and Georgia. I think if you look at the moment where Armenia qualifies, you can see her in the background with the delegation. Like, she knows her stuff. She knows how this game is played. As for We Will Rave itself, songwriters on the team include Anders Rethov, who his background includes songs like Always by Aysel and Arash, Too Late for Love, Fuego, Voices, and Jimmy Joker Thornfelt. Songs from his stable include El Diablo, Adrenalina, again, Voices, Break a Broken Heart, Tattoo. And this year he also is on the songwriting team for the Swedish entry, Unforgettable. So these are people who know how the sausage is made. Laura, what do you think about the song itself in its current iteration and what we got for
it? What do I think about this sausage? Well, as a raver myself, you know, I'm big into the raving, and this speaks to me in terms of it. I mean, the thing is, what I found very interesting this year is Eurovision does seem to be entering its rave era, because we've got Finland with a Windows 95 man, and we've also got, obviously, the Netherlands as well with Uro Papa. This, I think, is a little more rave by numbers. It's a bit more of a produced message of that kind of 90s donk sort of synthy style. It reminds me of kind of more kind of Cascada Bass Hunter style that we, you know, maybe sort of more early noughties.
LaBouche.
Yeah. It's very much like tick, tick, tick. We're doing this. We're doing this. We're doing this. You know, but I can't hate it, because it's a very simple message, but it does it very well. You can't not really sort of tap your feet to it. You can't not really enjoy it. You kind of know it's a little bit cheesy, and overproduced. You know, we were talking about messages maybe not hitting through with some of the songs. This is very obvious what this is about, and I don't see it, you know, getting in the kind of top five or whatsoever, but I do see it still doing very well, because I think people will just be like, this is just a fun song, and it's just enjoyable and a bit kind of silly, and it's not got any hidden messages. It's not got anything that it's, you know, deep it's trying to say. It's just saying we're just gonna have a party, and you know, but it does it reasonably well. That, you know, there are some little elements where I wasn't expecting it to be quite so kind of like bassy, and I was like, all right, they are actually trying to, they're not trying to just do a poppy song, they are actually trying to make it more kind of like sort of EDM. So you know, I didn't mind it. I didn't hate it.
Honestly, my thoughts are pretty similar. It's exactly what it says on the tin. It's not taking any risks in terms of being a inaccessible sort of the genre. It's sort of like, do you guys remember those shows like VH1 would have, like I Love the 80s or I Love the 90s, and it would just like go through a year and just have like a minute or so on a topic and just delve into it, have a joke, but it wouldn't go super, super deep. It was just, hey, remember this? And then like John Fugelsang would say something funny and you know, off to the next topic about, you know, the real world or something. But yeah, like this was like, hey, remember rave music? And, you know, there would be something very basic, and he's like, oh, I remember this, and this is fun, this makes me happy, and then we're off to the next topic. You're not going into the deep history of, you know, the societal ramifications of this. You're not writing a thesis on it. You're literally just having a minute of nostalgia and joy, and that's what this feels like to me. It's not the most groundbreaking version of itself, but for 3 minutes of dance heavy escapism in a time when we're all just stressed out, yeah, this is exactly what I expect it to be and what I want it to be. And again, by the end, am I hearing another amen break? Like, I and the fact that this was released on the same day as Switzerland, and there, yeah, it was a very, very dancey day when that song was released. It was a good day. Anyway, I enjoy this. It's nothing deep. It's fun. I'm happy it's part of the mix. I'm sure Colleen will absolutely kill it. Are we going to Austria next year? Probably not. Is this something that the Austrian delegation can be proud of? Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Fine. Eric, on to you.
I mean, just think about 2 years ago when they went for a kind of similar thing with the late Pia Maria that just kind of went over like a lead balloon, right? Like it just didn't really work. And I think that there were positive things to say about that song, but the performance was rough, and I don't think that's going to be an issue with this at all. It is a bit cookie cutter. It feels like it was written by a whole team of people, which it was. But in a year where there's a lot of these serious and deep songs, I think this is an interesting move to just be like, screw it, we'll dance.
Let us prance.
Yeah, come on now.
We shall prance.
Yes, we will prance. I enjoy it. I especially enjoy when we get to about the second half of the bridge and the drum thing that is, I think, really reminiscent of Firestarter by The Prodigy kicks in. Oh, man, I love that. I wish there was more of that, honestly, because I love that song. And I just it's great. It's hard to talk in depth about this because it really has no depth besides that little thing at the end where it, I think, musically gets a little more interesting. And I'm glad it does, because I think 3 minutes of just straight it would probably lose me a bit. So I'm glad that it switches it up a little towards the end. But there's so little to say about this song. But it does feel like a bit of fresh air in a year that is a little more intense and a little more complicated in terms of the songs and things like that. So like, screw it, we will rave. We will rave. Derek, will you rave?
I'm gonna take a pass on that.
Ah, I knew it.
You're just gonna go off to the side, get yourself a bottle of water.
That is my MO. I'll do the weirdo in the corner just watching everyone.
You will
every rave needs one of those. what do I think about this one? I'm kind of conflicted because I know in the past other EDM songs have not fared well. And it's hard to think how you stage something like this, because after last week, I went and found that Netherlands music video or video where he was doing a live show and he played Europapa and the audience was like freaking out and running circles and doing all this stuff. And he was standing in the audience while singing, and just his connection with the audience is what made the song kind of click for me. Because whereas if you just sort of listen to it by yourself, it doesn't work the same way. And I look at this and I think about Light Me Up. I think about Halo. If you're just on stage and you're just doing a 1 3-minute song and that's it, is that enough to get people really excited and really into it? I don't know if this kind of song works in this format necessarily. And if it does, we haven't seen a whole lot of it. I can think of examples of where it just failed. And I don't want to say we can't have songs like this here, but it is kind of a struggle where it's just them and maybe five other people on stage. And the audience is separate from that. And it's very choreographed and very structured. And this is the kind of music that isn't. That said, it is super catchy. It's incredibly superficial, which makes perfect sense given the writers, because that's what they do. Yeah, I said it.
Got him.
the staging people, they got Martin Dietmann again.
The Dietz?
I don't know if I trust him to do a song like this either, because he seems like he's more grounded and dramatic than Party. And just seeing what he did to Who the Hell is Edgar last year, I kind of wonder, was he the right choice for something like this? Even though he is Austrian, so it makes sense that Austria would hire him. Like, when I listen to this, it's catchy, because this is in my wheelhouse. This is exactly what I was listening to at the time that this was the kind of music people were putting out. I was in college or in grad school, and I just had this going while I was studying or whatever, and it just kept me moving. And when I hear it, yeah, you know, my heart rate bumps up a bit and I'm ready to go. I'm wondering how that's going to translate on screen. Like, when it's visual, I need to see that excitement. I need to get drawn in and feel that energy. And that's the challenge. I think by itself, yeah, it's a good song. Ultimately, though, it's kind of forgettable. You know, it's fun. You had my fun and now it's time to go. That said, it's ranking very high in a lot of people's lists. It's 12th in the betting odds. People seem to really connect with this. And if she's a professional, I trust in her process. So we'll see.
Danny, close us out.
When this kind of music was the most popular, I was 7.
Oh, shut up.
Just want you to know that. I think there is something extremely refreshing about a song like this that has negative 1,000 aspirations to be art, to have a deep message, any sociopolitical currency. There is something that is gloriously, liberatingly not try hard. Like, so this is the opposite of Iceland. And by that, I mean, these people wrote this song to have fun, to say the thing that they are trying to say is, let's have fun, rum-de-dum-dum, we will rave. There are no pretenses about this song. That is its hugest asset. It's fun. They say they're going to rave. That's it. That being said, there's no substance to this song. Like, it's going to get a lot of votes, but is it going to come first? Absolutely not. And you can get your Danny Was Wrong shirts right now. I don't think I'm going to be wrong about that. If people think that this
10, maybe.
This song is, I think, a sure bet qualifier, I think. People are going to have fun with it. This is a song that is, I use these words affectionately. It's not trying. It's not stretching for that win. It's not going for the heartstrings. It's going for, hey, you know what we like to do, guys, about 15, 20 years ago? We like to rave. What if we did legitimately a rave song? And you know what? They did.
I think exactly why it's connecting with people.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's almost a catharsis to it. Just the world we live in and all of that. Sometimes we just want to will rave.
There's a purity to it that is unbesmirched by the contest.
Oh, we've come full circle.
The song is it's pure and intact. It exists in a realm outside of Eurovision, and to have it at Eurovision is it's going to feel like a splash of refreshing water on the face wherever it falls.
I will say, when I heard the title, because they had announced what the song was going to be called, I thought, oh, really? I think there was a clip that leaked, and I heard a little bit of it, and I thought, okay, yeah, that sounds about right. And I really didn't think much of it. But hearing the whole thing, especially within the context of the other songs that we have this year, defying all odds, it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Good for that. Good. That's a good, like, soul read into what might work, you know. Good for them.
All right. I think that's it.
That's our roster. So why don't we go around? We'll start low and high. What was your least favorite song of this group? I could probably predict it, but I don't want to specifically speak for anybody. You know, have your moment. Laura, as our honored guest, why don't you start us off? What was your bottom of the week?
Yeah, I mean, it's Iceland.
Do it. How dare you?
Do it. Shove them into the ocean.
They're already there.
I know. Where are you shoving them?
Volcano's doing its job.
Shove them into Greenland.
Yeah, I'm in the same
boat. It's our defense issue now.
Yeah, I'm same boat. Sorry, Hera. You're a lovely human being, and I love seeing that Vina Del Mar connection, but... Sorry,
Vina Del Mar.
It's Iceland across the board, right? It's Iceland for everyone. Iceland for everyone.
Okay. Yeah, do we need to one
it's
by
Iceland
one?
Iceland for everyone. Laura, what did you like best?
It's tricky for me because I think immediately Austria more, but then the more I listen to Switzerland, the more I did really dig it. So it's a bit of a tie. I might go Switzerland though, just because there is more to it. And yeah, it's a hard one for me. Switzerland. I'll say Switzerland.
For me, it's a sort of head versus heart moment. If I'm going with my head, I'm going to say Switzerland just for the sheer like academic study, the fun of that. But when I'm listening to my heart, it's Estonia.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it's just there's something about it that just I can't wipe the smile off my face, and it's freaking fun. Sometimes that's all you need. Eric, what about you?
It's close, but I'm also gonna say Estonia.
Eric,
it seems wrong to pick against Switzerland here.
I know,
but like,
yeah,
but
it does.
it does because you're wrong.
Okay. Well, I'm sticking with my pick. It's Estonia. I understand which of these songs is like better, but
yes.
Whatever. Estonia.
It's Switzerland.
Okay. Okay.
It's a James Joyce novel and a song.
Wow.
For me, it's Switzerland. I'll say by a healthy margin. I won't say by like a country mile because there's songs in here that are like, oh, love this. Yeah, when this comes on, I'm like, oh, yeah, smile on my face. But Switzerland, I think it is just as, you know, this is my Citizen Kane moment. I think Citizen Kane is a entertaining and fun movie as well as a deep work of art. I think The Code is entertaining and very listenable, and also an extremely well-crafted and holistic work of art.
All right, The Code wins the week. I feel slightly better.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Again, everybody at home, wherever you're listening to us, let us know what you think. How completely off the mark are we? Or are you totally in agreement? Again, you can find us on all the standard social media outlets. Check out our Patreon as well. Massive shout out to our two newest patrons who just joined us recently, Allison Malcolm and Emilia Pedu. Thank you so much for joining the family. We really appreciate it. Laura, we cannot thank you enough for joining us today, taking time out of your time of recording Sunday for joining us.
What a treat. Yeah.
Thank you. You're welcome here anytime. Again, folks at home, where can they find you if they want to know more about your Eurovision coverage or your Twitch work, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks very much, guys. It's been really great because having stepped back a little bit from doing the Norpoor podcast, I don't get to have these discussions as frequently. So it's been nice doing this again. If you want to find me, like I said, Cressup, CRESSUP, search for that. If you search on Twitch, you'll find me there. Norpoor podcast, that's on all. If you want to catch some of our reactions to last year and things like that, we're on Spotify. We're on all good podcast sites, so you can listen to us there as well.
Fabulous. Say hi to Martin for us.
I will. Yes. Yeah.
and you at home, catch us next week where we will have a new roster of a handful more songs, a special guest. Thank you so much for joining us. Whether you're a new follower or you've been with us since episode one, we are so grateful for you all. But until then, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Diddy.
And she's been Laura.
And I've been Laura.
Yay. And America,
stop listening now.
Remember, Termagant.